I know you don't either. Take a copy of God's Word and turn with me this morning to Jeremiah chapter number 17 this morning. I'm going to read four verses this morning, and I'm going to explain them to you the way that the Word of God teaches us this morning. Jeremiah chapter number 17 this morning, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 7, but I'm just going to talk about verse 9 and verse 10. And I just for a moment this morning, I want to talk to you about only God. Only God has the authority and the power. Only God, nobody else. Only God has the authority and the power. You know, I can give my opinion or what I think, and that ain't worth nothing. The Word of God is what stands. That's where the book stops. Can I get amen? Amen. In that Word this morning and what God's called us to do. Jeremiah 17, in verse number 7, I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word. And the Bible says, blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaves shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The Bible says in verse number 9, the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. He asks a question, who can know it? Then the Lord says in verse number 10, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Our Father and our God, as we bow in your presence this morning, Lord, I pray for just a few moments as we sit down here together. Father, I pray that we realize this morning that only you have the authority and you have the power to search a heart. Lord, this morning I thank you that when you do the doing gets done. Lord, I thank you this morning that you are the one that does the searching. And Lord God, this morning as we study this word and we preach this word this morning, I'm praying for the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I'm praying for an unction from heaven. Lord God, I'm praying for not my will or my thoughts, but your will and your thoughts to come through this vessel of clay. Lord, you are the potter, and I'm just the clay. Lord God, this morning, if it suits you, it sure suit me that you do the preaching this morning. Father, I love you, and I do thank you. I ask you this morning to guard my throat and guard my thoughts. Lord, I talk to you in private each and every day. I share with you my heart. Lord God, I share it to you again right now. Bless the ones that are hurting. Heal the ones that's been broken. Give deliverance to the one that's captive this morning. Father, I love you. Father, I thank you. I ask it all in Jesus Christ's most holy, precious name. All of God's people say, amen. You may be seated this morning. Only God has the authority and the power. I want to share with you this morning for a few moments what God has the authority and the power to do in an individual's life. As we read the text this morning, the creator of heaven and earth. I want you to get a hold of that before we go any further. The creator, the one that said, let there be light, and there was light. The one that spoke water, the one that spoke into existence, the one that formed the earth. I'm talking about God Almighty. I'm talking about God alone. The creator of heaven and earth, God Almighty, has the authority and the power to go places no one else can go. He can go places no one else can go. He can go places that nobody would even dream of going. He can go so many places in every individual's life that he searches the heart of every man. And that is to the heart of every individual. Number one, this morning, as we look in verse number 9, the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Number one, this morning, I would say to you that God and God alone has the authority and the power to search men and women. God and God alone has the power to search men and women. He examines our innermost. He says here that he examines our heart, our mind and our will. Why does he search or examine your heart on a daily basis? Have you ever thought why God searches the heart of a man and woman this morning? He searches that this morning, we see in the text, because the heart is deceitful. He says here in the text, the heart is deceitful above all things. For that heart to be deceitful, it'd be this. That heart would be misleading or dishonest. And the heart is desperately wicked. When I thought about the heart is deceitful, it's misleading or it's dishonest, I'll never forget when I got to the age where I could buy things and no longer had to go on mom and dad, but I could buy it on my own. One thing my mama always told me, and Brother Brent Gunner, it burned me up. I'd say, Mama, I'm going to go buy this, and I'm going to go buy it, and I'm going to sign my note. I'm going to sign my name to that note. I say, and I'd always ask her, I say, Mama, what do you think? And she said, son, let me tell you. She said, tonight, when you lay that head on that pillow, you search that heart, and you pray, and you see what that heart tells you. And in the morning when you get up, whatever your heart tells you, if you think you still need to do that, you go ahead and do it. You listen to your heart. Friends, you know what I did when I listened to my heart? Not one time did my heart ever tell me not to go sign my name to that note. You know why? Because that heart, it says, it is desperately and deceitfully wicked. You know what I did when I listened to my heart? I listened to my own thoughts and my own wills and what I thought in my life. As I read this morning, said the heart is deceitful, it's misleading, and it's dishonest. But the heart is desperately wicked. It pierces a person. But let me give you this. To be desperately wicked, that heart would be dangerously evil. It would be sincerely corrupt on the inside of an individual. But we know that when the Lord searches the heart, he pierces the inside of that individual. He goes into the depth of that heart, to the deepest place that a man can go in his life. He goes all the way down to the heart. He doesn't stop at the bone. He doesn't stop at the marrow. He goes all the way down to the heart of an individual. Turn with me this morning to Revelation chapter number 1 in verse number 14. The Bible says that the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. And we know that God searches the heart of man. And we know how God does that this morning. But in Revelation 1:14, we know that when he pierces an individual and he looks down into the heart of an individual, it'll do some things in a person's life. Look what he says in Revelation 1:14. The Bible says, his head and his hairs were white like wool, this being Jesus Christ, God Almighty, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. You know what it does when God looks into the heart of an individual? He looks into the heart of that individual with eyes as flame of fire. He can burn right through that individual right down to where that heart is and right down to the inside of an individual. If I look at your heart, I will miss something. If you look at my heart, I'll miss something. Hey, but this morning when God looks into the heart of an individual, he doesn't miss nothing because he has the authority and he has the power to search men and women. Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter number 16 and verse number 7, if you would. He says not only does he have the power to get down and search men and women, but he searches the heart of that individual this morning. And in 1 Samuel chapter number 16 and verse number 7, we know what's going on here. Samuel, he goes, and the Lord said that there's one that's going to be anointed among you. And he went to Jesse and he said, well, bring your son forth, bring him hither. And as he went to that place, he brought the one that he thought would be the best looking or be the best for that individual. And when he looked at him, he said, that's not him. Do you have another one? He says, do you have another one? Look what he says in 1 Samuel 16 and verse number 7. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as a man seeth. Hey, when you look on the outside, God sees the outside. We see the outside of a man. Hey, we see the outside of what's going on. But God said, hey, don't. Hey, let me look on the inside. Let me look in the heart of a man. And look what he says in verse number 7. He says, don't look on the stature because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as a man seeth. For a man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord. And there it is right there. But the Lord looketh on the heart. Friends, this morning, you know what God wants to save you? He wants to save your soul. He wants to save your heart. He wants to save your mind. He wants to save your being this morning. He don't want half of you. He wants all of you. And that's why he searches an individual's heart, because he knows if he can get that heart, he'll have all of you. He won't have a piece of you, but he'll have the whole puzzle this morning. And as he said there, and he got to look at with me in verse number 12 of Samuel 16, he says, and he sent and brought him in, which being David. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance, nothing to look upon, wasn't beautiful, and God and goodly to look to. And the Lord says, arise and anoint him, for this is he. He said, he is the man that's got a heart after God. And friends, when we get here this morning, we see in the text this morning that God has the power to search men and women. But I don't only stop there this morning. He says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? In verse number 10, I, the Lord, I search the heart and I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Number one, he has the power to search men and women. Hey, but this morning he has the power to save men and women. Can I get an amen? That same one that'll search that heart, he'll save that heart this morning. He won't search a heart this morning. He searches it completely this morning. He don't halfway do it. He totally does it this morning. He says he has the power to search men and women. Hey, but he also has the power to save men and women. We see this morning in Matthew chapter number 9 and verse number 6, the Bible says, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Friends, this morning, Jesus Christ, God Almighty, he'll search that heart and he can save that heart this morning. He has the power to do that. In Matthew 9, 6, he came to that place and they wanted to know who can be saved, and they wanted to know what can be saved. And friends, this morning, man can be saved. Amen? Every man, woman, boy, or girl, when they hear that gospel and he searches that heart, they have an opportunity to be born again. But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Luke 19:10, the Bible says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's what he says this morning. He says the Lord searches that heart. And why does he do that? He searches it to save that individual. He does that, number one, by his goodness this morning. He does that, number two, by his grace this morning. He does that, number three, because he's God and God alone. Amen? And I love this morning. But not only do we get there and we see that he has the power to search men and women, he has the power to save men and women. I wrote this down. No one that has turned in genuine repentance to the Son of God for forgiveness has never. Look at this. No one, I don't care who it is, no one that has ever turned in genuine repentance to the Son of God and asked forgiveness has ever found him failing. No one that's ever in genuine repentance called on the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, no one that has ever called on his name has ever seen him fail at what he does. Do you all agree with me this morning? Titus 1:2, God who cannot fail, God who cannot lie, he will not lie to you. He'll never forsake you. He'll never leave you. And the Word of God says this morning, he has the power to search that heart and he has the power to save that heart. No one that's ever come to God in genuine repentance, fell before an almighty God, repented, believed on Jesus Christ, and asked him to come in his heart, has he ever not done what he said he will do? That's the God I serve this morning. But number three, number one, he has the power to search men and women. Number two, he has the power to save men and women. And number three, and this is where we're going to stop right here and chew for just a little bit. This morning the Lord told me, he said, you go in and proclaim so they understand. God and God alone has the authority and the power to satisfy men and women. Nothing else in your life will ever satisfy you. Nothing. Listen this morning. You can build a big house. It will not satisfy you. You can go get your teeth cleaned. You can go get your hair grown out. You can get extensions. You can buy a new car. You can do, I don't care what you do. Nothing will satisfy you but God and God alone. He is who created you, and He knows what it takes to satisfy you. Have you ever heard people say, I'm just not satisfied? If you're not satisfied with what God's done in your life right now, if He doubles it tomorrow, you still won't be satisfied. He is God, and He is God alone. He has the power to search men and women's heart. He has the power to save men and women's heart, but He also has the power and the authority to satisfy men and women. And when He has that authority, nothing will satisfy you but Him. Nothing will satisfy you but God and God alone. If you'll turn with me this morning to Matthew chapter number 11 and verse number 28. My question while you're turning there this morning is, are you satisfied? I ask every time I come out of the baptism pool, I ask Brother J.D., son, do you have peace? Yes, sir. I'm satisfied. I ask Brother Lee, you got peace? Yes, sir. I ask Sister Riley, you got peace? Yes, sir. The only peace you'll ever get, I ask everybody this morning, do you have peace? The world's in turmoil. Jesus said, the world's going to have tribulation. They're going to have all this. But I'm going to leave you peace. I'm going to give you my peace. I'm going to give you what I can give you this morning. And this morning when we come here, He has the authority and the power to satisfy you this morning. Read with me this morning in this text. Matthew chapter number 11 and verse number 28. Come unto me. He says, come on. Come unto me all ye that labor. Matthew 11, 28. Come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. Come on. Come to me, and I will give you rest. You know when I'm not resting in my life is because I'm not coming to where Jesus is. I'm not coming to where He is to get the rest that I need from the trouble that's going on in my life. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest, there it is again, unto your souls. Verse 30, for my yoke is easy and my burden's light. If your burden's heavy this morning, as your pastor, I'm going to give you one little thing. Come to Jesus. If your burden's heavy this morning, come to Jesus, because that's not of God. He's not wanting you to be burden heavy. I said something Wednesday night for you that was here, and I said this. Lord God, lighten our load. And He said, I've done lightened your load this week. And I was like, man. I've told some folks, I've talked to them before. I said, man, these people praying. And He said, I want to give you an illustration I want you to take to them folks. That they can't miss it by no way, form, or fashion. You know, usually right now I'd be spitting and slobbering and talking real loud and real fast. I would be. But see, I don't want to do what I want to do. I want to do what God wants me to do this morning. And I want you to understand this as me being your pastor as clear can be. I want you to turn with me to 1 John chapter number 5, verse number 11. He has the power to search men and women. He has the power to save men and women. He has the power to satisfy men and women. 1 John chapter number 5, verse number 11. The Bible says, and this is the record. By the way, this is recorded, is what that would say. Just as what I'm preaching through this mic, it's recorded for the world to hear. Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's recorded. You'll find it for years to come. It's been wrote down. It's been sealed. It's recorded in heaven. It's recorded here. I'm going to give an account for everything I preach behind this sacred desk. And I want my account to be accurate, and I want it to be true according to the Word of God. 1 John chapter number 5, verse number 11, the Bible says, and this is the record, or this is on record, that God had given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. And he that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Here we go. A little illustration I want to give you this morning. It says in verse number 11, and this is the record that God had given to us eternal life. Everybody see this envelope? The Bible does not call it temporal life. The Bible calls it eternal life. Eternal life. From the day you was born by your mom and dad and you came forth out of the womb, you began 9 months prior to that, you began eternal life. You did. There's nothing you can do. When you was birthed, nothing you can do. You started a process called, we're just teaching this morning, amen? We're going to get back to the basics, I reckon. That's what God led me. You have eternal life. But from the moment you're born, you have eternal life. You say, well, no. When your body's laid down, this physical life that you see right here is temporal. It's going to come to a point. It's going to lay down. This tabernacle is going to be laid down, be no good no more. But I'm going to live forever. Oh, I'm going to live forever. My spirit, my soul is going to live forever in eternity. You can either live for eternity in heaven, right? Or you can live eternity in hell. We all agree on that. There's only two places. Heaven or hell. If you don't believe there's no hell, you can't believe there's no heaven. If you say there ain't no hell, preacher, well then there's no heaven. You got to believe both. You got to believe this in the true gospel, the true word of God. There is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Does everybody agree we have eternal life? Okay, we all have eternal life. We're all living eternally somewhere. But Jesus Christ says here in this text, that it's this, he's talking about another eternal life. That's in him. Verse number 11, he says, and this is the record that God had given to us eternal life. This is not to debate. This is on record. And he says that eternal life that you'll spend eternity in heaven is not in Brother B.J. Mills. It's not in your membership at this church. It's not in the last name that's attached to you. It's not in what you got in savings, bank account, or any of them things. We all agree on that. None of that is worth anything. He says that eternal life, this eternal life, so you don't spend eternity in hell, is in my church membership. No. It's in the position of hope. No. He said that it is in Christ Jesus. Do we all agree on that? We have eternal life, and it's in Christ Jesus. Eternal life. Y'all all understand that. One more time. What does that do when I push this down? Tell me. I'm preaching on how I believe, and the Word teaches me. And that's what I'm going to stand on. I've sealed that. Eternal life in Him, Christ Jesus. Nothing else. Okay? All right, everybody still with me? We ain't even nowhere near done. God spoke to me this week, and I want you to get this like never before. Eternal life in Christ Jesus. But that's not enough to go to heaven. What? Oh, no. Let's keep reading. And this is the record that God had given us to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Verse number 12, he that hath the Son, finish it for me. Okay, we got eternal life and we got the Son. And then we got me, and y'all, you. Here I am, unsealed. Anything that I do could fall out to no count. Empty. I'm empty. No good. Empty. Me and you. You don't know what I do for a living. I could care less. Y'all understand that? That's pretty plain. I'm not trying to be cocky or nothing. I'm just trying to tell you what God showed me this week. If you're going to do what the Bible says, it's going to be because eternal life is in Christ Jesus. And if you're going to spend eternity in heaven, it won't be on your works, your title, or what you do in life. He says in the text, and this is the record that God had given to us, eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. I have eternal life and I have Jesus Christ. When I call on the name of the Lord, nothing else I can do to receive salvation. Good works won't get me nowhere. Living to your expectations won't get me nowhere. The same ones you pour love out to and you show kindness, give them a year and they'll be in another church somewhere else. That's my heart. So you didn't save me and you didn't die for me. Eternal life in Christ Jesus in me. Does everybody understand that? Everybody got this? Now we call this a new creation in Christ Jesus. Now we call this no longer me. And no longer you. But I've got a blank page. I've got a blank page. Romans 8:1 says, there's therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. I have a blank page now. And because the eternal life is only in Christ Jesus, and He is in me, now I can have confidence that when I die, I'm going to spend eternity in heaven. By nothing that I've done. Nothing. Zero. Zero. I never hung on the cross. He did. He died for your sins. For the wages of sin is death. Stop right there. But the gift of God is eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Eternal life in Jesus Christ. Let me show you, we ain't done. Verse number 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Why did He write that to them? Why did He write this to believers? Why did He write it to believers? We all struggle. We all doubt. We all have things going in our life. But folks, I want you to know this morning, if Jesus Christ has saved your soul, in you sealed, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. And that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. This morning, I'm asking you a question, and we're going to close. God and God alone has the authority and the power to search men and women's heart. Nobody else. Nobody. God and God alone has the authority to save men and women. Nobody else. God and God alone has the authority and the power to satisfy men and women. My last point's this. God and God alone has the authority and the power to seal men and women. Are you allowing His authority and His power to work in your life? Let us pray. Our Father and our God, I pray this morning in heaven that every word that I have spoken, every word that's come from my mouth, has pleased You. Lord, I am praying this morning that You would bless each and every individual in this room. I'm praying this morning that whoever doesn't have that blank page, that they would come to an old-timey altar and they'd do business with God, You alone, this morning. Lord, this morning, our faith, hope, and trust is in nothing less than Jesus Christ and His righteousness. Father, I love You. Father, I thank You. I thank You that all authority and all power lies in You and nobody else. Bless this time of invitation. I ask it in Jesus' holy, precious name. All of God's people said. I ask you to stand. Have you been to Jesus?